One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora. A novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal, the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Baby, do you want to go higher, baby? I know I do. Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Ingrid Newkirk in studio and Sean Wells. I'm so excited. I seriously think I'm going to cry.
We got Allie.
And Allie Miller is in here as well. That's right. She's not mic'd up yet because there's only four mics. Oh my goodness, what a thrill. What an exciting show today. We've got V Eats out in the hallway that has put on a vegan spread for Ingrid Newkirk in honor of this woman who, I don't even know what to say, Ingrid, when I announce you. You are just, you're a pioneer. You're a mover. You're a shaker. You deserve a Nobel Peace Prize.
Say I'm getting old.
You know what? So am I. So, you know, we'll all get old together. But Newkirk is the president and founder of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, the largest animal rights organization in the world with more than 6.5 million members and supporters worldwide. She founded PETA in 1980 when no one knew what a vegan was. Wow, that's hard to believe now because the movement is just so powerful. And in big cities like Dallas, I'm actually amazed at how big it's become. The Texas Veggie Fair is coming up November 2nd. I was asked to be the MC this year and the moderator for the panel discussions. And so I'm so honored to be a part of that. But, you know, Ingrid, you started a movement that has changed society's attitudes towards animals and won a tidal wave of landmark victories, including the end of car crash tests on animals, the closure of Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus after 146 years, fur-free policy enacted by almost every major designer, and bans on animal testing by nearly 4,000 personal care product companies. Your work to help animals is regularly featured in newspapers and around the globe. As recently, I believe, I heard that who was it we were talking about from The View that got...
Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg. You got her a little jacked up the other day.
Yeah, she's often on the wrong side of the animals for some reason, which is odd because she once rescued a cat from a burning building.
Really?
Yeah, she took in a really heavily burned cat and gave her a home. So I don't know where she is and why she thinks she's going to stick up for bacon over pigs.
Yeah, maybe we can talk to her sometime. I think it's a progression that people have to go through in a deep understanding and an education process. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people just don't want to see it. It's like, la, 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 don't want to know. I don't want to know because people, they fight change. You know, we all have habits, but, you know, you're also the author of more than a dozen books. I've got your newest one that is going to be released here in just a couple of months, Animal Kind, Remarkable Discoveries About Animals and
the revolutionary ways in which you can help them.
That's right. I've got the pre-copy. This is so amazing to have this. I will treasure it the rest of my life. I mean that with all my heart, but her website is PETA.org, that's PETA, and it's such an honor to have you in our studio today, joined with Allie Miller, who is sitting next to Sean Wells.
Hey.
And it's so good to have you in studio. You guys have an event. You have an event tonight.
I do indeed.
Okay, and it is the We Are All Animals at the venue. That's actually the name of the venue, is the venue at 400 North Irvay Street. General admission is $20 at the door, and seniors and adults, $10. Let's talk about that event, We Are All Animals.
Oh, yeah, looking forward to it. I've been on a tour. In fact, I just got back from England to talk about how speciesism is what is important these days. The idea that somehow we're separate from all the other animals needs to be exploded, because we're not. You know, we all have hearts, we all have minds, we all have eyes, we all have feelings.
Yeah.
And so tonight I'm going to talk about how animals suffer because we don't think about what they go through in order to make products, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Even eyeshadow, a food we all know about, shoes, who knows, and in experimentation.
Yeah.
And then all the wonderful things that we can do that are easy peasy these days. There's no strain.
It's getting so much more easy. It really is. I mean, you've got high-end designers making vegan boots. I bought a pair last week. I don't know when I'm going to wear
them. Apple leather?
Leather? You know what? I'm going to text my friend over when we go to break and find out the name of the designer, because they're absolutely stunning. In fact, Susie Batiste bought the same boots. I know that because I heard it through the grapevine.
I was watching an Audi review recently, and they talked about that their car was vegan leather.
Yeah.
In the car.
Oh, yeah. So cool. It takes, people don't realize this, it can take up to 8 cows to make one car interior.
Oh, wow.
And we started with the Nissan Leaf. I have a smart car. It's one of the cheap. I always say, people say, oh, you drive a Mercedes. Yeah, a Mercedes smart. It fits one person and one dog really nicely. But Ferrari has an upgrade that's leather in its new convertible. The Volkswagen Taycan has all vegan. So, yeah, vegan leather. People don't want the smell of leather that used to be something that people really wanted. And now people say, ugh, don't want that.
Yeah.
And if people do know, it's an environmental disaster to
Absolutely.
Have leather. And there are all these options, like apple leather, pineapple leather, grape leather.
Well, I have a Subaru with
leather.
Fabric.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I rescued another dog. I told you that just a few months at my last one. It's about 8 weeks now, Charlie. And then there was a little dog on the side of my property that I'm trying to rescue that ended up, it's like a little whippet mix. I haven't seen it yet, but I had some guys working on my fence a couple of days ago, and they saw it, and I've alerted all the neighbors, so we're trying to rescue it. It's very cold here in Dallas, and the moment that the weather drops, I always think about all the animals that are on the street.
Oh, it's awful, because we're always working to get them off chains.
Yeah.
We want people to really work vigorously to get ordinances passed to say, don't chain them outside. In our neck of the woods in Norfolk, Virginia, and upper North Carolina, there are dogs out in winter snow and all over the country, and they shiver. People think that they're built sturdy like a table or something, but they're not. They're suffering all night in the cold and all day. So.
Well, you know, this love for animals and this incredible empathy, if you will, you have it, I have it. Yours started in childhood. Mine started in childhood. We're going to talk about that when we go to break in a couple minutes. There's a lot of great stories out there. We're going to cover as much as we possibly can today. It's such an honor to have you in studio, as well as Allie Miller and Sean Wells. You guys have an event tomorrow here in Dallas as well. Allie Miller is a registered dietitian with a contagious passion for developing clinical protocols and programs using nutrients and food as the foundation of treatment. And Sean Wells is a registered dietitian, a regular on the show, certified sports nutritionist, fellow of the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and has his master's of public health in nutritional biochemistry. And so we've got an incredible lineup. Allie, what do you want us to know about the event tomorrow?
The event is called Resilient, Brilliant, and Balanced, and it will encompass all of those things. It's going to teach you how to use food as medicine, how to go with your gut, trust your instincts, and really take your passion to the next level, how to learn to turn your passion into a career, and to feel confident within your daily decisions, and really optimize and thrive within your body.
Well, we will be there, and I will be at the event tonight at the venue at 400 North Irvay Street. I hope to see a lot of people there. So I think we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I want you to know the Ingrid that I know. I'm so honored to have you in studio. Everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
defensive.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. Yes, I can imagine a lot of things that I wish could change here on the earth, one of them being animal cruelty. As I sit here with Ingrid Newkirk, she is the president and founder of the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, the largest animal rights organization in the world with more than 6.5 million members and supporters worldwide. Ingrid founded PETA in 1980 when no one even knew what a vegan was. She started a movement that changed society's attitudes towards animals and won a tidal wave of landmark victories, including the end of car crash tests on animals, the closure of Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey circuses after 146 years, fur-free policies enacted by almost every major designer, and bans on animal testing by nearly 4,000 personal care product companies. Her work to help animals is regularly featured in newspapers around the globe. Ingrid is the author of more than a dozen books in several languages, including her latest coming out in January 2020 called Animal Kind. Her website is PETA.org, and I'm proud to say that I am a Vanguard member, and I love the work that you have done all over the world to change the plight of animals that are just so abused in our world.
Thanks, Bernadette. You don't do badly yourself because you get the message out and get people to start thinking about how they relate to animals.
Right.
And that's it.
That's
personal,
the beginning.
Responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's knowing what goes on, not turning a blind eye, not saying, don't show me, I want my steak. Or,
right.
You know, oh, well, the one little fur coat won't hurt, or whatever it is. But really taking personal responsibility as ethical, moral people who know that animals share the same feelings that we have.
Mm-hmm, they do. And they love their babies just like we love our babies.
They do.
They
that
do.
Mother
and it's...
cow, that mother cow, it is just, I was on a dairy farm when I was small, and I still remember, and I've seen, of course, so many videos since, and been on other farms, when they take those babies away so that we can use the milk that is meant for those babies, belongs to those babies, those mothers are devoted and they call out for those babies. One even crashed through a fence and went 7 miles looking for a child.
It's traumatizing. And to eat their soft flesh, the veal, and their soft leather for the calf, for shoes. And so
don't need to do it anymore. It's the 21st century.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Oh, I forgot to text my friend about that shoe designer. I'll find out who it is. But, before we go into your story about how you became so passionate about animals, you brought up, something a minute ago about about why so many people don't understand. But, you guys are kind of known for your shocking imagery in your campaigns, but also your more softer ones about going naked rather than wear fur, which I'm sure a lot of men have appreciated. But you have do you have statistics or studies on which type of campaign is more effective to encourage people to at least examine?
It's funny because you will only hear of the ones that are gimmicky. Because
right.
Those are the ones that make the press, and those are the ones that get people talking. Of course, we have a corporate liaison office that works behind the scenes, which is why you're seeing Beyond Burger cropping up everywhere. All these fast food restaurants are now, the Air Force is now serving mm-hmm. Beyond Burger to the troops,
wow.
or whatever you call people in the Air Force. And so we deal with clothing companies. We do exposés, undercover investigations. So we show how you get an Hermes bag from ostrich leather or even crocodile, which most people don't have any sympathy for those
animals. Yeah, they don't.
But those, how brutally they are killed with a steel rod up their back. We show Angora rabbits being held down. And,
oh, that's a bad one, yeah.
But we get 400 companies, 1,200 companies because of corporate negotiations to stop using them, and we get shoppers to stop wanting them. But we also work with law enforcement. And one of the hardest things is to get a prosecution for cruelty on the ubiquitous factory farms that we all know exist.
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff will be Facebook friends with the farmer, and they won't want to prosecute, but we do. We do get felony convictions. We do get cruelty to animals convictions. But, there are so many thousands of these farms. This drop-by-drop approach is no good.
Right.
You need to not only show the videos, but get people to say, I am now not going to eat.
Well, yeah, that's a
product
whole,
of this cruelty.
Well, that's a whole other problem in our society is the people that work at these factory farms, they literally become mentally ill from doing that kind of work and go on to be very abusive themselves. I'm looking at an investigation. This is an old story from a two Florida dairy workers sentenced for animal abuse. They only got 20 days for beating a dairy cow with a PVC pipe and then breaking a cow's tail. And this kind of stuff goes on all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's
know, they'll
terrible.
They'll drop a cinder block on a sow's head and laugh about it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't even become desensitized. A lot of people who are working in these factory farms are already, they are drug abusers, they're spouse beaters. We see their long criminal records sometimes. It's not just that they take it out on the animals and
yeah.
call them every name and
right.
kick them. It's that they have that mentality which mm-hmm. allows them to work in those places, these CAFOs.
Yeah. Well, you know, your story is an amazing one. And I feel that people need to deeply understand where you're coming from. So let's go back to your childhood. I believe it was India where that first impression was made with you as a child about animal abuse.
Well, when I was born, actually, in England, there was a dog already there. So he had the lead on me. And we grew up pretty much as brother and sister. And
oh,
we
wow.
understood each other. You know, if we were sad or happy, we understood. In fact, we both got car sick together at exactly the same time, and much to my mother's chagrin. But yeah, when I went to India, it's a different thing because cruelty is out there on the street. You can see it. It's
right.
not hidden away in a laboratory or on a factory farm, a fur ranch. It's there. It's unavoidable. So my mother would always take in refugees. She worked for unwed mothers, for orphans, but she took in refugees who were animals too. So mm. our house was always full of animals in need.
It's in your blood.
I learned from her. She used to say, it doesn't matter who suffers, but that they suffer. It's if
Love
you can
that.
Help, help.
Right.
And so I thought that was a pretty good role model.
Yeah.
But one day I was outside in the back. I heard we had servants and they were laughing. And other houses' servants were also lined up on this big drainage ditch. And everyone was having a hooting good time. And I went out as a little girl to see what it was. And there was a dog in the bottom of the drainage ditch. This is burning heat. I mean, really hot.
Oh, wow.
And someone had, I found out later, they had caked mud into his mouth. They Ugh. Bound his mouth. They bound his front feet together and his back feet together. And he was trying to hobble along
oh, my
the bottom
God.
Of the drainage ditch. And people were laughing at him. So I made my servants go down and bring him up, and they did. We sat in the courtyard, and I took my hand and, crying, took all the mud out of his, and he bit me, which of course he would. He was dying.
I've got a scar right here. This is from being bit by a stray dog. It's my badge of honor.
Badge of honor. My mother, the rabies was rampant in India, and my mother went down to the rabies clinic, and she said, I'm not having you have the shots. It's worse to have the shots than not. So we were counting the days to see what happened. But this poor dog really broke my heart
of
as a child. And there on the street, you would see these steers that were bullocks that were pulling carts laden with bricks and pipes. And in the sun, if they didn't move because they were tired, someone would hit them with a metal pipe or a wooden cudgel. And one day, I saw a bullock collapse, and the man got off his cart. I was drinking soup at my dining room table, which had a big glass window out onto the street. And I saw him pick up the bull's tail and ram that stick right up inside him.
Oh, my
and
God.
And that bull tried desperately to stand.
Oh
and
God.
I just dropped my soup spoon, ran out onto the road. And I think I was 8
wow.
or something like that. I would have killed that man. I was so angry for
of
what
course.
He had done to that bull. And to this day, I don't know what happened in the end, but somebody stopped me
mm-hmm.
and brought me back to the house.
Wow.
But I remember that bull, and
wow.
it still goes on.
Gosh.
We work in India now. We have 5 veterinarians.
Yeah.
We have clinics. Just a drop in the bucket.
Well, my story isn't as brutal as that. My cat Fluffy, it's a story here on the show that we hear often. My cat Fluffy got, you know, I grew up in upstate New York and the temperatures up there. That's where Jean Bauer from the Animal Sanctuary.
Yes.
That's like 10 minutes from my homestead of where I grew up in upstate New York. Fluffy got left out that night and didn't get in, and it was like 30 below zero with whipping winds, and he froze to death.
Oh, God.
And I never forgot it. And that's kind of what started my plight, if you will, or my journey of always, you know, when it's the most natural thing on earth, or it should be, to have a heart and feel tenderness and love, and you want to protect animals that are so incredibly such a gift to all of us.
Well, things get in the way as we grow up, I think. That's a tremendously moving, life-changing experience. And then we grow up and money gets in the way, career gets in the way, people's influences get in the way, we get habits that we get stuck in. And so we tend to think, well, I'm grown up, I don't have to care anymore. That's the time Peter Max used to say when he was growing up. He'd think, why don't they do something about it? Then he grew up and he thought, hang on a minute, I am now they. It's time for me to do something about it. We have this power when we're adults. We can do so much more than we could do as kids.
Right.
We need to get on it. Do it.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, see something, say something isn't just some airport slogan.
Right.
It's if you see a dog out in the cold, or you see somebody beating an animal, or you see somebody in a fur coat, please say something. The victims can't speak for themselves.
No, they can't.
They need their own Me Too movement.
Well, you know, you talked about your dog, your first love, your dog. I had pulled this on Fridays, every Friday since the inception of the show. We always do a segment about animals. And so I pulled this it says Fido feels ya. And I just thought it was super cute. It says, like mother, like pup, dogs can tell when you're strung out on stress and will mirror your tension. A new study found that they smell the hormonal changes in your sweat, namely skyrocketing cortisol and plummeting oxytocin and serotonin, and then go into protective posturing mode where they won't leave your side. Sounds awe, right? But they actually experience their own dramatic uptick in blood pressure and heart rate, of course, which isn't healthy, to keep you and your nugget zen. Spend more time grooming, walking, and playing in the dog park, and leave the phone at home. But I thought it's how ironic that I would have this, and you had just told that story, because animals do bring so much pleasure to us. And so the question that so many people, like I think this, and a lot of people do, if we love our dogs and our cats so much, why do we not transition that love and that tenderness, that kindness and protection that we feel for our dogs and our cats, our rabbits, our rats, whatever they are, to other animals that exist on the planet?
Well, I think
more
and more people do, thank God. I mean, that's happening. We have a contest now called Chicken Star Search or something like that.
That's
and
awesome.
If you've ever rescued a chicken, and some people have been given a chicken from a farm and they've made that chicken into a companion at home, each story that I'm reading every day and the pictures of the chickens is that they have personality. And the people who have taken them in suddenly recognize it's the same as a dog. Some of them flirt, some of them are shy, some of them preen, some of them don't. I mean, they listen to music, they dance. It's just ridiculous. And yet you think, we've come to know that about dogs and about cats. And we just have to extend, it's common sense, that all the other animals, even if they don't look like a dog, you know, pigs are supposed to be smarter than dogs. Who cares?
Right.
They all, you burn a dog with a cigarette, burn a pig with a cigarette. They all feel as if you burn yourself with a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
We do need to extend this, we call it circle of compassion, but your empathy, and stop putting up barriers and saying, oh, well, I'm only, if you were in the Philippines, you'd be eating dogs. If you're in Vietnam, you'd be eating monkeys. It doesn't make any difference. And I have been in slaughterhouses for horses, for dogs in Taipei, for cows. I see them all. Their eyes are saying, this can't be happening to me. Please, please don't let this be happening to me. And they all, if they can, they try to turn around, they try to leave, but they're stuck. They're going to be hung up by a leg and they're going to be killed. And why? Yeah. For a sandwich?
Yeah.
You know, what is that? We're grown people. We're supposed to have ethics. We think we're kind. don't do it. So yeah. We are making the thought transition. It's just more and more and more people need to do it quicker.
Well, they need to have a deeper understanding. And we're going to continue on. We're going to break here. Everyone, you're listening to One Life Radio. More coming up with Ingrid Newkirk and Allie Miller and Sean Wells. Stay tuned, everyone. Love it. Welcome back, everyone. Oh my gosh. One Life Radio. I'm so chill having you in studio. Ingrid, your energy is amazing. I've got Allie Miller and Sean Wells as well. You know, and we're going to be talking with Allie Miller here in just a couple of minutes about the anti-anxiety diet. Everyone's in town for an event tonight at the venue. We are all animals. Ingrid's going to be speaking, and we're going to get even better educated about what's going on in the world and changes that we can do ourselves personally, just little things that we can do to make animals safer in this world. It's at 400 North Irvay Street. Tickets are $20 at the door, and if you're a senior or student, it's only $10. I will be there, and it's at 7 o'clock tonight. I will be there, so I hope to see you. Come shake my hand. I'm the girl with the long blonde hair and the silver boots.
The glamorous one.
Well, I don't know about that, but you didn't see me before I got here this morning taking care of my 20. I've got 23 animals now on my property, the latest one being Charlie.
But I think you're supposed to have 24, so I'll be over.
Well, you know, I've got that little whippet over at the fence line who I hope will be my newest rescue. Poor little thing, he's out there freezing in this. I've been going out to my fence line every morning and night talking to him or her. I don't even know if it's a boy. I'm hoping it's a girl. Because I've got a disproportionate amount of boys, and they're in a peeing contest, Ingrid, and it drives me crazy. But I just rinse it down and smile because I love them so much. But, you know, Sean Wells will be speaking tomorrow with Allie, too. Let's talk about your guys' event.
All right. Let's talk, Allie. Yeah, and check Eventbrite. That's where we have it listed, the Resilient, Brilliant, and Balanced. Allie Miller is, like, the rock star of, like, cooking, eating whole food, and then this anti-anxiety diet that's really amazing. Like, I'm super excited to be with her.
There's the cookbook. I don't have the cookbook. I just ordered the other book on Amazon. Awesome. But, I'm going to get it. I am. But, you know, it's so great to have all three of you in studio today. And I love Dallas and all the great events that go on here. Ingrid, I wish you lived here in Dallas so we could do this every day. But, you know, there's so many things I want to ask you. But, you know, with all the animal abuse in the world today, how do you guys decide who or what to go after?
Yeah, it isn't as if there's one thing, is there? Because animals, unfortunately, are part of almost every abuse you can imagine. And so we divide it pretty much into animals used in experiments. That's everything from a rabbit having a substance put down their mouths so that you can record how long it takes for them to be poisoned. And you know, we have a campaign at the moment against Texas A&M University for its muscular dystrophy experiments on dogs, which in all the years they've been going on have never shown anything of use. And these poor dogs, they lose all musculature. You know, they can't
It's terrible.
Stand.
I've seen the
it's
images.
It's really bad. And if you go to our website, you can figure out how to get involved. We've got this great guy. He's in a wheelchair. He has MD. He's from the UK. He's come over and tried to talk to the dean about it, and they just kick him off the campus, basically. But we will stop it. And so there's experimentation, and there's a lot going on. We've managed recently to get the Environmental Protection Agency to agree. What we've been saying for years is that the animal tests do not work for toxicity. Mm-hmm. You need these modern tests where you get a result really quickly. It's with a high-speed computer. It's in a test tube. Clothing's a big area. You know, we were talking about the Angora rabbits and so on.
Yeah.
And now there's all this new vegan leather, so you don't have to do anything to cows.
Yeah, I forgot to text my friend again. I got to find out the name of that designer because the boots are absolutely amazing. And they weren't that expensive. They're a lot cheaper than leather boots as well. But this particular designer did such an amazing job. They're silver boots, Ingrid, with red stars all over them and blue heels. Like red, white, and blue. I don't know where I'm going to wear them, but I'm going to click my heels wherever I go.
No, you can get absolutely anything that's warmer than the old animal-based clothing now, and it's lighter weight, and it's either fashionable or practical, whatever you want. But these designers are really going in that direction. Almost no major designer uses fur anymore. And
right.
You remember when they used to say, oh, we will always use fur. And no, you won't. And now even the fashion shows, like the one in Holland recently, the one in London, Paris, they're saying, well, no fur anymore on the catwalk, which is tremendous. But they're also saying leather is an environmental disaster. It's cruel to animals, blah, blah. Let's get away from leather, too.
You guys have been working on Macy's for like 20 years, and finally they have succumbed to your request to stop selling fur by the end of 2020. I agree.
Not our
biggest campaign,
may I say. We've had sit-ins and demonstrations, and we've met with them and shown them alternatives. But yes, it's out of Macy's. And they're one of the few remaining department stores that will actually sell it.
Well, I think so many people just don't understand the it's beyond abuse. It is like horror of the fur industry where they skin them alive sometimes. I mean, it is absolute brutality. And that should never go on this planet.
Also, dog leather. You know, we did a big expose in China where hundreds and hundreds of dogs in a single factory are killed every day.
Oh, my goodness.
Their meat is basically thrown away, but their leather goes into things, small things like belts, like cat toys, believe it or not.
Yeah.
All this stuff.
Because it's cheap.
It's cheap. And, of course, they're not going to mark this is dog leather on it.
Right.
So it goes over to Italy. It's made into a bag or a belt or gloves.
I'm going to whack them over in Italy if they're doing that.
They do. You can buy something that says made in Italy or fabricated in Italy. Doesn't mean the leather came from there.
Right.
Leather could be from any source.
Wow.
And usually it is India, believe it or not, or China.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two major things. So no excuse to steal from or kill an animal for something to wear.
Yeah.
You know, it's 2019. It'll soon be 2020.
It'll soon be 2020.
We can chuck it all out.
Well, you know, tell us about your newest book, Animal Kind.
Oh, well, Jean Stone and I wrote this together. It's chock full of facts about the remarkable ways in which animals manage to cope in the world. And people say, oh, they're just animals. But we collected so many facts about their talents, their abilities, the fact that even a little bird will fly 7,000 miles back to the same nest every summer.
It's amazing.
And in this, you know, I don't recognize Dallas from the last time I was here. It's so changed.
Well, they think animals, humans are so much smarter than animals. I can't navigate like that.
No.
With my human brain.
It's true. And a beaver, you know, will build an underwater set, and they'll make sure it's got oxygen in it. There are different rooms for sleeping, for waste, for food storage. And they will actually, you know, dam a river so they can have a pool that they can swim in and so on. I mean, every single thing. We have squirrels who actually bury nuts by the celestial bodies. They are seeing where the stars are, and they'll memorize that. So they've got 1,000 places they buried a nut, and they know where every nut is. But if you watch them, Bernadette, there was just a study out of New York that showed that if they know they're being watched, they'll use sleight of hand, and they'll actually just pretend to bury the
nut. Oh, my God.
Actually bury it there.
So they're afraid of squirrel thugs coming and stealing their nuts,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. The more you learn about animals. So the first part of the book is all about their astonishing. They don't have schools. They don't have hospitals. They don't have doctors. They don't have supermarkets. But they manage to fend for themselves, find food and water in the few places that are left for them.
Right.
I mean, they can't turn on a tap. And we're constructing everywhere.
Yeah, we are. Especially here in Dallas.
Oh, everywhere. And they raise their young to know what to do, what to be afraid of, how to make do. And then the second part of the book is about once we really open our eyes to this, we open our hearts to this, and we figure out we're all in this together.
Yes,
we are.
We're
all just life forms on Earth making the best out of everything we can, eking out an existence. What are we going to do? So the second part shows all the, well, not all, but many of the ways in which people can make easy, kind choices.
Uh-huh.
Make a decision that won't hurt an animal somewhere. Don't have your picture taken with a parrot on your shoulder or a lion cub that's been bred and taken away from his mother for a selfie, you know, for a little something to put on your Facebook or Twitter, Instagram. Just know that they're not volunteers, that there's a story behind that. Just think when you see an animal in the equation, dead or alive, and give it a miss and do something, one of the wonderful choices we now have, because we've got gobs of choices.
Yeah. Why can't everyone be like you?
Oh, I don't know what to say to that one. That's, no one would want that.
Well, you know,
the kindness part you can take.
Well, you know, you and I'm trying to manage the clock here. There's so much I want to talk about, and I've got to get Allie here to talk about her book. But you and Sean were involved in a conversation, which I feel our listeners would want to hear. Sean and Ingrid, let's recreate that conversation. You asked Ingrid the question, okay, so you are a nice guy, Sean. You love animals. You would never intentionally harm an animal, but you're a meat eater. Ingrid, what did you say to him? I missed it.
I can't remember, but I gave him a hard time. I think there are a lot of people like Sean. I certainly was like Sean as I grew up loving animals, caring about animals, and knowing you should never set a firecracker to a cat's tail or beat a horse or something. But we ate our way basically through the animal kingdom, my father and I.
Right.
And I didn't connect the dots. It was only when I went out to a farm and found a pig that was left to starve and held that pig in my arms and then remembered later on that I had pork chops I'd defrosted. This was before microwave ovens, that I did start to think about it. So I said to Sean, I think that you cannot anymore say, even though we used to, I really care about animals, but I'm going to carry on paying somebody to farm them, to kill them, to have them have that experience in the slaughterhouse. Because what we're saying is, I like dogs, or I like horses, or birds, but I don't care. My meat habit is more important than their lives and their suffering and their fear. And we have to grow up, be strong, kick that taste, and say, I'm going to try the alternatives. And I know if you're kind, it's going to happen. If you discipline yourself to make it happen and you keep one image, I think I said that to you, because it helped me, is keep one image from one of these hideous videos that we uncover when we go into these places of a sow who has her dead piglets beside her and maggots or whatever you want to see. The fear in their eyes, keep it in your mind. And if you do care about animals, don't have to love them, just care about preventing suffering, you'll say, I can live without meat, but they can't. And I'm going to make a change here. I'm going to try that, what, like Kentucky Fried Chicken just had the fake chicken in Atlanta. I hope
I love their seasoning, the kernels.
Knocked the
ball out of the park
or
on that one.
Go to the supermarket and get the soy chicken wings or whatever it is, or the Beyond Burger. We talked about the Beyond Burger. And see if you like it and just keep down. I will help you in any way I can. We have mentors, vegan mentors. You can call them in the supermarket. You can call them if you're having a dinner party. You can call them if you feel yourself getting weak and thinking, I've got to have that bacon sandwich. You can call them and they will talk you down from the ledge and say, you're a kind person, Sean. Don't do it. Don't do it. Try the other thing. I think that's what I said to you.
Essentially, yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of food, V Eats, Troy, Chef Troy, has prepared a fabulous vegan meal for us out in the hallway. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Allie Miller about the anti-anxiety diet. And Ingrid is going to stay here and chill with us. I'm so honored to have you in our studio today here at iHeartMedia and One Life Radio. Everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A wee moe, 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 a wee moe,
my gosh. I love this song. Oh, my goodness. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. We have Ingrid Newkirk in studio with us, Sean Wells, and Allie Miller. Allie Miller is a registered dietitian with a contagious passion for developing clinical protocols and programs using nutrients and food as the foundation of treatment. She is a certified diabetes educator, certified weight management specialist, and a therapeutic lifestyle healthcare practitioner. Allie is a renowned expert educator, but an expert in the ketogenic diet with over a decade of clinical results using a unique whole foods approach. Allie has combined the strengths of both naturopathic and allopathic fields, practicing functional medicine that is guided by nature, yet grounded in clinical scientific discovery, and I would say in research. Her website is AllieMillerRD.com. That's AlliMillerRD.com, or Instagram, Allie Miller. Allie Miller RD, so that's A-L-I Miller RD.
That's right.
Okay, so let's get into this. The anti-anxiety diet. So can you define food as medicine?
Yes. So food as medicine is this double-edged sword approach of removing foods that are pro-inflammatory, removing what I like to call processed food-like substances, right, which would drive hormone imbalance, which would disrupt the microbiome, and then consuming an abundance of the foods that are anti-inflammatory, foods that support the microbiome, foods that provide certain nutrients, in this case of the anti-anxiety diet, that balance our neurotransmitters. So there's mood-stabilizing minerals out there. There's B vitamins that help to work as cofactors or activators of our neurotransmitters, and strategic amino acids or protein building blocks that actually build our serotonin and our dopamine and so much more.
Well, I love, I bought your book about a month ago on Amazon. It's in all bookstores, yes, anywhere you buy books. But one of the things that I thought was really awesome that you addressed birth control as a root cause of anxiety. You know, so many people are unaware of that.
Yes, you know, and it's not even discussed as a medication. It's
right.
Just like an assumption.
Right, like everybody gets on the pill,
yes,
right?
Yes, and the issue is that it's synthetic hormone. It's not bioidentical hormone. And progestin is actually a big driver of anxiety, whereas progesterone is anxiolytic or an anti-anxiety. And there's dynamic difference in how the body responds.
Well, you know, in your cookbook, I've got it here. I'm already looking at some of these yummy recipes. And of course, you can take a recipe and you can change it. For example, the bacon broccoli egg bites, you could take the bacon out if you wanted to, or use substitute egg or a lot of things like the citrus pumpkin pancakes. If you wanted to make it vegan, I guess you could use an egg substitute. Or
you can veganize anything.
You can't. You really can't veganize
everything.
You would
lose out on the choline, to be fair. Acetylcholine is a transductor for our neurotransmitters. And choline is rich in eggs and liver.
Yeah, it is. I will eat pasture-raised eggs if I'm going to eat an egg. I've actually, Ingrid, thought about having my own chicken so I can have
rescue
a scrambled
chickens.
Egg.
rescue chickens.
So I can have my scrambled eggs once in a while or make these citrus pumpkin pancakes. What is the role of anti inflammatory foods on mood stability?
Yeah, so if you think of the brain and neurotransmitters, it's basically like these phone wire communication mode in the brain. And our thoughts, our cognitive function, and our mood are regulated by these neurotransmitters, and there's receptors and signals. If the body is in a state of inflammation and we're consuming inflammatory foods, in the medical field we use a marker called C-reactive protein, or your CRP status, to see where your inflammation is at. We've seen in clinical studies that individuals that have an elevated CRP are 3 to 5 times more likely to have depression or anxiety. And I kind of liken this to, like, imagine if your brain's trying to communicate through Jell-O or a muffled sound on the radio, mm-hmm, that gray noise. Mm-hmm. You're not getting that clear cognitive influence, and you're not getting a clear thought process.
Well, you know, the gut has become we have such a better understanding now than we ever have, thank goodness,
yes,
finally. But what do you believe to be the top foods to support gut integrity?
Yeah, I mean, the balance with the gut is that there's something called the enteric nervous system, and this is literally the brain in our gut. It has more neurons than our brain and our spine combined. And so we're supporting our enteric nervous system both by supporting the gut lining. I take a 6-R approach in the anti-anxiety diet, removing inflammation, resetting the microbiome, repairing the gut lining, restoring micronutrients, status, and then rebounding the adrenals and rebalancing our neurotransmitters. So there's a multifactorial approach. But the gut is in three of those R's, because that gut lining plays a role with our inflammation. If we have leaky gut, we have higher influence of cytokines, prostaglandins, all these chemicals that drive the inflammatory process. And so we're removing the pro-inflammatory foods. And then we need to feed the gut, because when your gut balance is good, you make more serotonin and GABA.
I can't.
Probiotics are
nature's
Prozac.
I love my GABA. GABA makes me sleep well. And I've got to get the GABA out of here as we're going off the air soon. Such an honor to have you in studio, Allie Miller. I look forward to seeing your presentation tomorrow morning. Yes. Details quickly.
Resilient, Brilliant, and Balanced. It's at the Aloft and Love Field. You can get your tickets at Eventbrite.
We'll put
a swipe up on my Instagram.
Thank you so much.
See you tomorrow.
Woo. Ingrid, thank you so much. An incredible honor gracing our studios with your presence. Honestly, I almost feel like Jesus is in studio with me with level of kindness. I'm not kidding.
See you tonight.
I mean it with all my heart, and I will see you tonight at 400 North Irvay, the venue. We are all animals.
7 p.m.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I got to go.
Thank you,
thank you. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be contagiously positive.